It started as a missing persons case on a hot Alabama night in September 2018. Police received a report that 37-year-old Jim Capello was missing. Now, on the surface, they seemed to have it all. Jim Capello, age 37, was a successful private investigator with his own firm. Marjorie Nikki Capella, 32, was a well-respected critical care nurse. Married for 8 years, they were parents to a bright, beautiful little girl and had been excitedly planning renovations to the Huntsville, Alabama home that they had recently purchased. But beneath the veneer of their seemingly perfect suburban life was a darkness few beyond Jim's immediate family could ever suspect. "He would call and confide in me," says Jim's older sister, Jamie Wiest. "Jim told me that if he was ever found dead, it was because his wife did it." The home of Capella, located at 8013 Lauderdale Road, is ground zero for a relationship that has taken a turn and which will leave the entire community stunned. Police say that they went to Capella's home to talk to family members after Capella was initially reported missing. They returned to the home the following day after receiving more information, and when they arrived, the wife of Capella reportedly refused to let them search the home. It was that odd and peculiar behavior that landed Nikki Capella as the prime suspect in her husband's disappearance. And despite how intelligent Nikki Capella was, arrogance and pride in her plan for freedom was ultimately what landed her in jail. Now, the police would return later that day with a search warrant. But for even the most seasoned of investigators, this search would be one that would forever haunt them. And this is the unbelievable story of Jim Capello's death. Jamie Wiest remembers her brother as hard-working, generous, and loving, especially towards his young daughter. "He had the ability to make everyone laugh," she said. "It was never quiet in the room. He was a talker. He could keep you on the phone a very long time talking just about anything." She goes on to say that the 37-year-old private investigator was energetic and a bit of a workaholic. But one thing was for certain, he cared about the people around him. "He was a great person," she said. "He was a good service to the community, and he was everyone's best friend." Now, Jim owned the Capella Investigative Agency in Huntsville, Alabama, and put in long hours trying to help people. And he had been married to Nikki Capella, a nurse at a local healthcare facility, for about 8 years, and they'd had a 4-year-old daughter at the time. The couple had just recently bought a new home, which they planned on renovating. And even though they seemed happy, cracks were starting to show in their marriage. Jim had confided in family that he believed Capella had developed an addiction to narcotics after taking painkillers for a back injury. Others had witnessed her falling asleep at odd times, even during meals. Now, obviously it was in Jim's nature as a private investigator to seek out the truth. And he had admitted to his own relatives that he had started to investigate his wife. If only he could prove that she was an addict, and he believed he could build a case to get custody of their daughter if they split up. He even spoke to his sister Jamie about putting a tracker on Capella's car and had been going through her bags to find evidence. But when Jim didn't turn up for work on September 21st, 2018, he was reported missing. As the police got involved, they discovered that he was having an affair with a colleague. Had Jim left his life with Capella to be with her? Even that seemed unlikely. He wouldn't walk away from his daughter he adored, and there was no evidence that that this was even a plan of his. And worryingly, he had spoken to his sister on September 19th, and, well, according to her, he sounded unwell. On September the 22nd, Capella made a disturbing call to a friend. She said Jim wasn't just missing, he was dead. She claimed that she killed him with insulin and begged for help getting rid of his body before backtracking on her story and hanging up on the phone. Stunned, the woman called the police and reported what she had been told. And that's when police officers went to Jim's house and surrounded the building to cover all the exits. Jim's car was parked outside, and when they knocked on the front door, Nikki Capella answered. And the officers were immediately struck by the stench of a decomposing body. Around back, another officer saw a freshly dug hole in the ground. Was it a grave? I mean, there was a muddy shovel and muddy women's shoes there, too. One thing for certain, Nikki Capella was on edge. She agreed they could come into the house, but not the garage. And after they got a search warrant, Jim's body was discovered on the floor of the garage. He was on his back, lying on a sheet of tarpaulin with his feet up on the floor of a car like he was being loaded into it. Jim's wife, Nikki, was taken in for questioning. "You know I went inside," the officer said. "You know I found him, right?" She casually replied, "Yes, I knew he was there." Police investigators discovered that Jim had spoken to his family about wanting to leave his wife and that he was building a case so that he could get custody of his daughter. And as mentioned earlier, he had found a bottle of insulin during his searches and taken a photo of it. He had sent it to a friend, unsure what it meant. Neither him nor his wife needed insulin. And while insulin can save a diabetic's life, it can kill a person who does not need it. And as a nurse, Nikki Capella would have known that. Police found insulin in the house and syringes in Capella's bedside cabinet. And that's when the police decided to go to the healthcare facility where Nikki Capella worked. Her colleague said she was open about the problem she was having with Jim and even said that the only way she would be free of him would be if he was dead. Police found insulin was missing, but there was no record of a patient needing it. An autopsy could not detect insulin in Jim's body, but detectives were convinced that was what had killed him. And medical experts explained that insulin would be undetectable by the time the autopsy took place, and needle marks don't always show up during examinations. When asked about the insulin during questioning, Capella said she'd accidentally brought it home. It was then that she was charged with murder, but released on a $100,000 bail and surrendered her nursing license as she awaited trial. After delays due to the pandemic, Nikki Capella pled not guilty in 2020. And meanwhile, Jim's sister, Jamie, spoke out to the media and revealed a conversation that she had with her brother before he died. That conversation was the one where Jim had told her that if he was found dead, his wife had killed him. Jamie also said she had shrugged it off at the time, not thinking that her sister-in-law was capable of murder. Listening to true crime podcasts can make you question your safety and security. And what better way to protect yourself than with a safe room? And why stop there? Make your entire house a safe space from serial killers and zombies and tornadoes and hurricanes. You see, insulated concrete form homes built with Nadura not only offer great curb appeal, but are comfortable and strong and safe year-round. ICF foam block construction offers superior energy efficiency, occupant comfort, sound dampering, fire resistance, and disaster resilience for the life of your home. And for those of you in North Alabama, North Mississippi, and Southern Tennessee, it is simple as emailing our good friend Carlos at BC3 ICF Distributor, LLC. Located in Phil Campbell, Alabama, Carlos has everything you need to build a fortified home at a fraction of the cost of a traditional build. For more information about how Nadura ICF can provide you safety and security, email bc3.naduraicfdistributor@yahoo.com. On the first day of trial, 12 jurors and two alternates were selected, the jury being made up of 6 men and 8 women. Now, it was apparent early on that much of the evidence was circumstantial. But from there, the trial went on to opening statements when prosecutor Shay Keller laid out the state's argument, saying that Nikki Capella poisoned Jim Capella with insulin, which would have been deadly, as he was not diabetic. Keller said that Huntsville police officers found syringes in Nikki's nightstand, and Keller also mentioned that Nikki had talked with a friend about killing her husband before his death. Now, the state's plans to bring that friend to the witness stand later in the trial. Meanwhile, Nikki's defense attorney, Brian White, says for a jury to convict Nikki with murder, that the state must prove, in fact, that Jim Capella had perished, that he had died from insulin. Now, that would prove to be difficult. As we mentioned earlier, insulin doesn't show up in a decomposing body after a certain amount of time. And so the defense said that without a medical cause of death, it couldn't be proven that there had even been a murder. Now, the prosecution, on the other hand, said that all the evidence pointed towards Nikki Capella being a killer, and they said that Nikki Capella had stolen insulin from the hospital to slowly kill her husband. And before court ended on that first day, the state called its first witness to the stand, Jim's best friend, Matt Hornbuckle. He testified that Jim was a generally healthy man, but felt extremely sick and had symptoms of low blood sugar in the days before his death. Well, that was about as good of evidence that the state would have, other than the syringes and insulin found in Nikki Capella's possession. Huntsville police investigators and a medical examiner were among the witnesses called to the stand on the second day of the trial. The day started with the jury watching a video of homicide investigator Michael DeNoon interviewing Nikki Capella after police found the body of her husband. In that video, Nikki explained to DeNoon that she had spoke to Jim on Thursday, September the 20th, around 5 a.m. But there was no evidence that he was even alive at that time. Around 8:30 p.m. that evening, Nikki received a text from Laura Burks, the co-worker Jim was having an affair with. She was having questions as to his whereabouts. Nikki said she called the police on Friday morning to file a missing persons report and then took her daughter to school and went to her mother's house. But when asked by prosecutor Dim DeThwitt, Nikki said that she talked to Jim's sister Jamie on Thursday morning about Jim's condition since he had been sick Wednesday night. And then she talked again to Jamie on Thursday and told her Jim hadn't been seen. It was in that same video that Nikki claims to officers that she found Jim's body in the garage. When asked why she did not call the police or allow them in the house initially, she said that she was scared of how it would look. As questions continued on video, Nikki is seen asking for a lawyer. And the video shows Investigator Danoon saying the conversation is over and evidence would be given to the district attorney's office. And that's when Nikki Capella asked what evidence he was calling the district attorney with. Danoon replayed scene and officer reports. Now, the district attorney's office is called. And the video then shows an investigator telling Nikki she was being arrested for Jim's murder. Nikki explained she could not go to jail due to being on medication, though Danoon said if it's a prescription, family can bring it to her. The jury would see the video ending with Nikki handcuffed and walked out of the room. Danoon said that he interviewed other members of Capella's family, hospital personnel, and Ashley Strickland, Nikki's closest friend. Crime scene investigator Jeremy Phipps walked the jury through the photos of the home, which included a prescription drug Jim claimed Nikki was abusing before his death. There was also the picture of the freshly dug hole in the backyard, a muddy shovel, and muddy women's shoes. Prosecutors also had Phipps go through images of Jim's body after it was found decomposing on a tarp in the garage and insulin needles and syringes found inside the Capella's home. Investigator Phipps said that only the coroner had touched the body. Other items Danoon said were found inside the home included multiple laptops, two iPads, two iPhones, a Sony handheld camera, and several medications. Valerie Green, who performs autopsies for the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences, was called as an expert witness and testified that insulin toxicity cannot be detected in the body after a certain amount of time. Green said that after a few days, you cannot medically detect a level of insulin within the body. And days later, an insulin injection needle rarely leaves a mark or injection site. Therefore, she says that a specific cause of death could not be ruled out in this case. On day three of the trial, the prosecution called Huntsville police investigators, crime scene experts, and the doctor who performed Jim's autopsy to the witness stand. Investigators would spend several hours answering questions, walking the jury through the crime scene with shocking photos and opening up evidence on the stand. In a new, never-before-seen video of the crime scene back in 2018, investigators with the Huntsville Police Department said that Jim's body was found near a yellow Corvette. Portions of his legs were inside the car, which was in the garage of his Huntsville house. The jury also would witness Nikki's interrogation video, and she was asked if she killed Jim and asked why she didn't want investigators checking the garage, to which her response, quote-unquote, was, "I don't know." The jury also heard from Dr. Green, who performed Jim's autopsy and examined the body, again reiterating that those insulin needles were so small that it's pretty much impossible to find the injection site. And so, again, Dr. Green said, when it comes to the death of Jim, or it comes to the cause of Jim Capella's death, it's undetermined. But she could not rule out insulin toxicity. As of day three, Nikki's attorneys have not yet called any of their witnesses to testify. But that will come soon. Nikki Capella had been caught when she reached out for help to dispose of the body of her husband, Jim. And it would be that testimony of her best friend, testifying about the shocking call that she'd received. When Nikki Capella was caught, Jim's family were on their way from Florida to look for him, and she was under pressure to get rid of this corpse, which was in her house. And during the trial, the court heard about Jim's affair with a colleague. And yet so many questions remain. Had Capella found out and realized she was about to lose her husband? And perhaps her daughter? After 4 days, it took the jury less than an hour to find Capella guilty. The 33-year-old showed no emotion as she was sentenced to life in prison. Jim's sister now has custody of his daughter. The prosecution said that Nikki Capella was truly, unrepentantly evil. And Jim's family pursued a civil case in order to get compensation for his little girl. Being married to a private eye, Nikki Capella should have known it would only be a matter of time before her secrets were exposed. And sadly, while Jim had his suspicions and the skills he needed to probe them, his wife, full of evil, killed him before he could finish his investigation. Until next time, I'll see you then.